Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalary Podcast. I'm Steve Hees.
Reverend Dr. Lawrence Van Beek.
Oh, it's like honey on the lips, isn't it, folks? It's just sweet. Anyway, sorry.
Notice I dropped off as I said it.
Yeah, that's right.
Rather than a crescendo.
Yeah, that's right.
For yes, our musical film.
Wow, I have many places I was going to go with that, and I stopped myself. I'm so proud of myself.
I was asked a question the other night.
Okay.
Who is this person that Steve's referring to when he talks about haikus?
You don't have to tell us,
but just so you know that people are saying, what the heck is that all about?
Oh, that's great. I'm now making references that are irrelevant to our audience, so that's awesome.
I brought in limericks, and she didn't mention that at all. I was so proud of myself.
Yeah, which actually reflects well on my work career, actually, too. bringing in facts that nobody cares about. here I am, folks.
Welcome. You're going to get hired by Microsoft.
Yeah, that's right. Would you like to see our new copy of Windows 8? speaking of irrelevant, sorry. Folks, we're going to talk about two different passages tonight, but Larry's after a single concept. So the two passages we're going to talk about is 1 John 4. And then 2 John, but what you really want to talk about tonight, Bud, is the Antichrist, right?
That's right. We talk a lot about the Antichrist, and we did a little piece on this in Revelation, and I just thought I would pick it up again in these two passages of John, because people do talk about the Antichrist all the time, and I don't know where they're at right now with who the Antichrist is going to be, but people have this idea that the Antichrist is a specific person. And different things that I've watched in these different films. Now, I didn't watch the Left Behind series, and I don't know who the Antichrist was in those, and I probably should watch them just so that I can speak to that more clearly. Do you know who the Antichrist was in that series?
Alas, I did not watch it either.
Ah. Yes. It is unfortunate. I think there were actual big name actors that were on their way down that played in those movies. So. I often see big name actors in Christian movies that once their careers have dried up.
Well, Nicolas Cage was in one, so I think maybe you got a good point.
I won't speak ill of Nicolas Cage because. Was he not in Pretty in Pink or Sweet 16 Candles? He was in one of those.
I don't remember.
I'm going to stop talking about little girly movies that I watch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pull back from the precipice. Anyway, back to the Antichrist.
Speaking of the Antichrist. So, the other movies that I've seen a few, and actually I've liked some of them very much, but I don't agree with the theology, but the movies are good. And some of them, the Antichrist is some guy, and people would talk about this, and usually the Antichrist is a man. Always the Antichrist is a man. I have never seen the Antichrist portrayed as a woman, though I'm pretty sure I've met her. At work. In one or another of my job.
Oh my gosh. So we went here, did we?
Yeah. Oh my God. I went there, Steve. I did. I think for all the things that are going on in the world, they could have come up with a female Antichrist, but they usually treat it as a man. And from Eastern Europe, and a lot of them will say from Italy, because that of course leans into the whole anti-Catholic sentiment.
Right. Yes.
That kind of comes along with this whole Antichrist idea, right? Yep. But there have been other people through the centuries that people have thought were the Antichrist. Now, by the time I'm done this, by the way, I should let you know, Steve, that I'm not going to, these antichrists in John are not a specific person. These are false prophets in the church.
Okay.
But just talking about this whole concept of an antichrist.
Right. Okay.
In John's time, I would be quite certain that if they talked about an antichrist or they talked about the beast, they would be referring to the Roman emperor. And very much thought that, right? Whether it was Nero or Domitian, which most scholars would put it in Domitian's time. Though some said Domitian was actually quite a good ruler, not a bad ruler.
Okay.
But I don't know if there's any such thing as... And Nero was horrible, right? Nero was the one that burned Christians at his parties. He would tie them to stakes and light them on fire at his garden party. So if Tacitus is right, Tacitus is the Roman historian. Suetonius and Tacitus, I think it's Tacitus that talks about Nero. But anyway, so Nero would have been from the first century. But if you go up through the centuries, you find out different things. Like you find that the Orthodox Church, the Greek Orthodox Church, actually, some of those, there's something on that they felt that Napoleon was the Antichrist. Hmm. Yeah.
Because he kind of rolled through Europe, or you know, what was kind of the thinking there?
Because he was a conqueror, and he killed a lot of people, right? So they were terrified of him, of course, and felt that this was the spirit of Antichrist coming through. Now he had a Napoleon complex, but he's the one person that's allowed that.
it's named after him, even, you know.
I actually read somewhere that he actually wasn't short for his time, but I don't know that. I don't know how true that is. Yeah. So some thought it was Napoleon. The Orthodox Church, the Greek Orthodox, felt like he might be the Antichrist. And I didn't even know they had a view of Antichrist like that. You know, that I don't think they had a dispensational view with the 7 years and all that, but they still saw him as being at least very anti-Christian. The one that we would speak of mostly that we would know very well would be Hitler, of course.
Yes.
And Hitler, he was considered, he would have been considered an antichrist by many Christians in those days. And of course, people in the Second World War, the First World War first and then the Second World War, you know, if you want to talk about the end of all things, people really felt like this was going to be the end of all things.
Right.
And quite accurate, right? And I would say that in a very real way, both Napoleon and Hitler were antichrists. They were doing very, very ungodly things, right?
Right.
And if you keep on going, I don't think anybody ever said that about Saddam Hussein.
Okay.
And here's a weird one, and we don't go here in our country because like we're Canadians and we like the U.S. But there are people around the world that saw the American presidents from time to time in this type of a role.
Okay.
They saw America as being a conqueror, and therefore the whole idea of the Antichrist being there as well. Now, you won't read that in too many places, but the concept at least was there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. From other countries. So there is a concept of there being an Antichrist coming. Now, it doesn't quite work. My good friend, not you, Steve, but one of my only other good friend, probably. he felt when I remember years ago, he told me that he felt that the Antichrist was coming through technology. He really felt that this is, and then that, oddly enough, that would suit you as well in some ways.
Because I'm Andy Noah.
Well, and of course, this is the way a one world ruler could rule.
Yes. Yes.
Now, the big thing of the concept of an antichrist is that this person he makes a pact, and the world actually follows and loves him, and we have never had a ruler that the world has followed and loved.
Right.
So we've never had that outside of possibly the Roman emperors that the known world at the time would have at least followed, if not loved.
Mm.
But since those days, we don't have that anymore.
Right.
So people do think that there is this one world leader, that there is this antichrist coming. Now, when you read this thing in John, so let's, if we do John chapter 4, maybe 1 to 6.
Okay.
Or then that'll help us if you want to read that.
You betcha. All right, folks. So John, 1 John 4, in the ESV, starting at verse 1 here. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Yeah, so you see what John is doing here, Stevie. Now, by the way, if you think that John wrote John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the Gospel of John, and Revelation, then, and I'm comfortable with that. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
Yep. But many people think it's a different author of Revelation than of the letters of John. But if it's the same person, that would be kind of interesting as well.
Mm-hmm.
But look what he says here. And Steve, I was sure the Greek version that I read talked about Antichrist and said, the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard is coming, and I tell you that they are already here. But it picks it up anyway, because he uses the plural a little bit later on. He says, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens, but we're from God. So when he talks about the Antichrist, he's doing a little bit of a shift, right? He says, you guys are expecting an Antichrist. So I think there was a concept of a one ruler, even in John's time.
Okay.
He says, you're thinking the Antichrist is coming. I'm telling you that they are already here, that this spirit is already here. And then he uses the plural for sure, at least a little bit later on, and says they're already in the world today. So what he's doing is he's taking this idea of Antichrist that they had, and he's saying, look, the spirit's already coming into the church even now. So you don't need to be waiting for something massive to come in your future. It's here.
I'm going to try to draw parallels to today. Is there a tiny bit of irony here? Because we tend to look for this threat from outside the church all the time, and yet John's telling him the threat was from the inside?
Kind of an intriguing thing, isn't it? That the threat, there is a threat that comes right into the church. Yeah. When you read the book of Acts, you find out that he does a whole series of a threat from outside the church. They solve it, the church grows. There's a threat from inside the church. They fix it, the church grows. There's a threat from, and he does outside, inside, through about half of the book. It is something, isn't it? That there's a threat, but then he tells them, he says, but you know better, guys. You know, you have the spirit of God in you. You know what the wrong spirit is.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know that I know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. John tells us we know.
Yeah. Well, John has a little more hope for us than.
Yeah, you and I are like, no, I know me, so never mind.
Yeah, I appreciate that. No, I have no clue. I have no clue what's going on, you know. And but he's saying that there is an Antichrist spirit in this world. Now, by the way, anti in English means all the time means opposed to, right? But anti in Greek can mean either opposed to or in place of.
So
it could be something fighting against Christ, or it could be someone taking the place of Christ in the church.
I get you.
Yeah.
That's an important distinction too.
Well, it is, and I'm not sure what he's going for here, but he is saying that there's trouble. It's kind of something that the last two that we did Jude and we did 2 Peter, and they're dealing with the same issue of of false prophets, of people coming in to, I guess as the church grew, there's an opportunity to make money, and there's an opportunity to build power. So there's power and there's money starting to happen even within the church, and people are jumping in to take advantage of them.
Okay.
Yeah. So again, Antichrist here, we're looking for lots of stuff, but what John's trying to say is, man, it's here already.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
So, Second John, eh?
Second John it is.
This is very short, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's okay. John knew he was going to just hit them with a sledgehammer, and that's all I need to say. Thanks.
A lot of people think John's quite an old man here, and all this stuff about children and walking in love, and you know, is kind of stuff an old man would say. But that's fair. But we have to remember that we believe in inspiration. So this isn't just John talking like an old guy.
Right.
It's God's word to us too, as well.
Yeah. And this is John who, you know, called down fire, right? So.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was one of the sons of thunder.
Yeah.
So, good point.
Yeah. So maybe.
Was John one of the sons?
I thought so.
James and John,
right?
I always think of him as being like, you know, he even talks of himself as being the beloved one that leaned on Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, he very highly of himself.
And strangely, his mom did too, right? So
his mom thought a lot of him. Intriguingly, later on in the gospel, when they go to the tomb, he talks about Peter, and then that he actually outran him to the tomb. So these were young guys, right?
Yeah, the last little stick, and I outran Peter too.
And I got to throw it right in my gospel.
Oh, that's awesome. So, Bud, you want me to pick it up at verse 4, or you want me to go right from the beginning?
Pick it up at 4, unless you want to know about this, the elder and the elect lady and all that. But no, let's just go.
Let's go from 4. And we'll go 4 to 11, I think. Yeah.
The elect lady, by the way, could be a person or could just be reference to the church. We're not sure.
Yeah. All right, so folks, Second John, there is only one chapter, so, and we'll pick it up at verse 4. I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one that we've already had, or the one that we have from the beginning, that we love one another. And this love, that we walk according to his commandments, this is the commandment. Just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, and those who do not confess the coming of Jesus in the flesh, Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves, so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works.
Yeah, so there's I like this next verse, number 12. He says, I have much to write, but would rather not use paper and ink. But hope to talk to you face to face, and in the Greek that's mouth to mouth for some reason. So that our joy may be complete. Isn't that, that's kind of neat, eh?
Yeah.
Actually saying I have a lot to say, but I'm really way too lazy to write it all down.
Well, we identify with that right there.
That's why we're doing a podcast, not writing.
That's right. A podcast, not a blog. So
again, we think that the lady's the church, right? Because I'm rejoicing that some of your children are walking in the truth. And you wouldn't be saying that to an actual person. Because, well, I don't know. Maybe she had tons of kids. And now I ask you, lady, I'm not going to write you a new commandment, but just tell you what we've always known, that we love each other. Yeah. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. By the way, in the Gospel of John, that is what Jesus says. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments.
Right.
And I really think Jesus is the only one who can say that. Right.
Right.
Right. I don't think I can say that to you, Steve. Like, if you're really my friend, you're going to do what I tell you. You know, I can't do that to you. I'll take a try at it once in a while, but I think Jesus is the only one. And John says the same thing. If we're really loving, then we're going to keep his commandments. So right out of the gospel, which is another reason I think he wrote both. Just as you have heard from the beginning that you should walk. And then he says, many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Christ coming in the flesh. Such a one is a deceiver and is the Antichrist. So again, when we talk about Antichrist in eschatological terms, they're referring to a specific person, right? And John is saying, look, anybody who denies Jesus, now people that deny Jesus coming in the flesh, that was what we later on would be Docetism, right?
Right. And, yeah.
And Docetism comes from the idea of thinking, and the idea that Jesus appeared to be here, but he actually wasn't here in physical form.
Right. Right.
And John fought that both in the gospel and in his letters as well. And the other guys talk about this. And again, remember we talk about proto-Gnosticism. Right. Gnosticism, like full-fledged Gnosticism, Mandean Gnosticism and all that. You're talking middle of the second century, right? Before you get into that stuff. But this is, you know, middle to a little bit past middle first century.
Yeah.
And already there's people saying that Jesus never came. These are the same ones who would then say they would be antinomians. And they said that you can live any kind of life you want, right? And John actually refers to this idea of Jesus coming in the flesh. We think when they're talking about the cross and they pierce Jesus. I'm hoping that's in John and not in the synoptics. But when they pierce Jesus and he says, "Is it blood and water comes or water and blood?" I can't remember the order now.
Yeah, I think it's blood and water, but that's just from memory. It could be from the
synoptics. Yeah, from memory. So. But the point was that he did that in his gospel was to specifically say that Jesus came in the flesh, that Jesus truly was a man. Remember, the things that the authors of the New Testament had to fight all the time was Jesus is not a man, or Jesus is not completely God. And they would argue both of these things all the time. And usually Jesus being God, it came out a little more naturally. Like they didn't actually argue Jesus is God and this is why, but they use very natural terms to refer to Jesus and God in the same sentences.
Right.
Like Revelation does, right? God's on the throne, Jesus is on the throne.
Yeah.
And things like that. So this Antichrist, what this Antichrist is doing is saying that Jesus didn't actually come in the flesh, that he just appeared to be here.
Right. Okay. I see where you're going.
Yeah. And of course, it's important for us too, because we have to stand strong on Jesus truly is God and Jesus truly is a man. Remember, we always say 100% God, 100% man. How does it work? We don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. We're good. We're good with that. So
we're good with that. Yeah. Like for the Trinity, we have all these different ideas, like an egg. It's a shell and it's a yolk and it's a, but nothing really works really, really well.
No.
The only thing that really works is Jesus says, when you've seen me, you've seen God.
Yeah.
And that kind of works. So then he says, watch yourselves. Like, now, I won't do much with this because this could upset our audience, because here he says, watch yourself that you don't lose what we've worked for, but may win a full reward. So for some people, that means you could lose your salvation, right?
Right.
For others, it means that there's just different levels of rewards and you want the full reward. And Paul talks about that, right? Being saved, everything gets burned up and you're saved like wood, hay, and stubble. Or are you diamonds and precious jewels and gems and things? So what have you worked for in your life? And of course, some Christians have a real problem with that too, because they don't ever want to talk about us being able to earn anything in our salvation.
Right. Yeah.
And so you always got to walk carefully through this stuff. And basically God's saying, you know, just continue to live for him. That's what he's saying here. Everyone who goes ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. So he says, you know, you gotta stay in Christ's teaching. Of course, anybody that believes that you can't lose your salvation also says that you will stay in the teaching of Christ.
Yeah, I see what you're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, usually it works out okay, because if a guy completely loses his salvation, the guys who believe you lose your salvation says he lost his salvation. And the ones who don't believe you can lose your salvation say, well, he was never a Christian.
Right.
He was never truly a Christian. So when it comes down, we still write the same person off.
Good point.
we just approach it differently or say it differently.
Yeah.
And of course, that'll take you back to Hebrews and all the stuff that they do in Hebrews 6 and 10 and things like that. And those are arguments we don't want to have tonight, because tonight we just want to say the Antichrist is the spirit in the church that denies Jesus, that somehow denies Jesus, right? And in this case, he's quite clear how. They're saying that he didn't come in the flesh. And so that's what Antichrist does. So when you're into Revelation, you're actually not using the term Antichrist, you're using the term beast. So is it improper to use the term Antichrist? Well, probably not. People have picked up on that term, they've pushed it into Revelation, and then they use it there. And the big thing about language is you say things because it's what people understand. And so maybe it's okay to use it. I'm just trying to say that really when the term Antichrist comes from John, John's the only place to use it, and he uses it specifically of false prophets in the church.
Right.
So that's you know, is there an Antichrist coming? I don't know, Steve. You remember I'm a little more symbolic with the whole book of Revelation.
Right.
And go ahead.
Oh, no, and I was just going to say, and it uses a different term of beast, right? So it's a very different connotation there than what we see John talking about here.
And it is different. It is, and if the beast is the Roman Emperor or somebody in the future that's equivalent to what the Roman Emperor was, then this Antichrist terminology doesn't fit quite as well.
Yeah.
The Antichrist actually fits more the false prophet. You know, the beast of the land or the false prophet than the other. But I don't want to fuss about terminology and words that much.
Right.
I'm not saying, you know, everybody that says that is wrong. I mean, that's not a helpful stance in this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So awesome. They are. Well, they are wrong.
Yeah. Well, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. They're completely wrong. Yeah, but I want to give them grace to be wrong. Yeah. enjoy your wrongness. Well, Larry, that was awesome. That was an awesome look into kind of what John was dealing with. You can kind of take that paradigm and take a look at what we deal with within the church. And what we deal with from outside the church. That was a good add-in, even with Acts and those contrasting outside-inside threats. So this was awesome, bud. Well, thanks for doing this.
Well, thank you, Stephen.
Folks, we're so glad that you're on this journey with us, and we'll keep pumping these podcasts out, mostly because we like doing it. And so tell your friends, tell everybody, put it up on a billboard if you've got time. And just tell them to come listen to the Apocalypse podcast. Who would not want to listen to a quality podcast like this? I can't think of one person. Can you, Larry? No. Okay.
Stephen, you're totally right.
Oh yeah, good. Yeah,
retirement plan too, people. Like we're hoping to get on the circuit with this.
Yeah, so. even though we're asking for no money whatsoever, somehow we're hoping to retire from this.
Yeah.
But you can send those checks to post office box. No, just joking. anyway, but until next week, thanks again for coming along, and this is goodbye for me.
And for me as well.
We'll see you next time on the Apocalary Podcast.